This is Stephen Strang. Before my podcast, I want to give my listeners a special offer of getting 2 years of Charisma Magazine for only $20. This is better than two for one. I hope you want Charisma in your home, where you can read it, where you can share, where you can keep it around the house and sometimes look at an article later. You know, with everything that's happening with digital, we have found that people still want Charisma in print. And I've been sharing this in my last few podcasts, and it's interesting that the subscriptions are coming in, and I hope that you'll take advantage of this offer by going to charismamag.com/2, T-W-O. That means 2 years for the price of one for only $20. And now here's my podcast.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
In my work over the years as a Christian journalist, I've had occasion to visit many great rallies and gatherings and conferences. You know, there's so much more about the work of the Holy Spirit than conferences, but they are rallying points when Christians come together and people are inspired and taught and educated. Hello, everyone. I'm Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report. Today, I'm able to give you a report on one of the greatest gatherings I've ever attended. It was called The Send, and it was actually in my hometown of Orlando, Florida. I've been to Promise Keepers. I've been to the great charismatic Catholic meetings over the years. I've flown to different parts of the world where I've been at great rallies of 50,000 people in Seoul, South Korea. I could go on and on. But I was so moved by The Send that I wanted to interview the director, Andy Bird, and I approached him at The Send and said, I want to write about this in my newsletter and have a podcast. Would you agree to talk to me? And we were finally able to find time for me to talk to Andy Bird and to just find out all the exciting things that happened at The Send. Andy Bird, you're the director of The Send, which happened recently in Orlando, Florida. What was the motivation behind The Send? How did it come to being, and what were your goals?
Yes, the real heartbeat behind The Send is to help to awaken a true mobilization movement. And the mobilization we're believing for is the reawakening of America through a true Jesus movement, that the everyday believer would begin to share the gospel with power as a part of normal life. And then second to that is out of that awakening, out of a true mobilization would come a massive missions movement from America to the nations. So it was both seeing America as a mission field that we're all responsible for, but then also being able to turn our eyes to the nations to recognize we still have a responsibility in the nations of the earth. And really it came about in short on a 7-year journey, a 7-year word to Lou Engle and the call that there was soon going to be coming a transition in America and to the call from calling people to prayer and fasting to really sending people in a spirit of prayer and in a spirit of fasting into evangelism and missions with power. And that the mantle, the responsibility, the sense of passion that Billy Graham had to reach his generation, that same passion was going to fall on an entire generation. And so we've been on a 7-year journey to kind of walk that word out, and had always felt and had words that it would begin in Orlando. And so just February 23rd of this year, you know, last week we were able to stand together in Orlando on a culmination of that 7-year journey and the beginning of what we believe to be a new era of missions and evangelism.
Well, it was exciting for me to be there. Most of my listeners probably know I live in Orlando, and I've been to many events there, including Christian events, where there were all these grandiose ideas and goals and dreams and hopes that didn't happen the way the people said. But I was just stunned. You had more than 40,000 people at the peak, I'm told, and 58,000 people altogether. I mean, it was just something to behold. In fact, I'll just mention that I was at a Billy Graham crusade at that same stadium, or I should say they tore down that stadium and built the new one on the same spot. But Billy Graham had it in 1984, and there were far fewer than half the number. In fact, the stage was in the middle of the field facing one side, and that side was fairly filled, and the other side, of course, was empty. So I just so admired the way that you were able to send out the word and people responded. What do you think is signified by the fact that so many responded, especially so many millennials?
Yeah, it's such a great point and a great question. And, you know, the phrase that ran through my mind so much in this last year was from Isaiah, that the zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. And I just think there are times, you know, in history where we strike a chord of a message in a moment for a generation. And I certainly can't point to anything. You know, we have a great team and a great mobilization team and a great media team. I mean, they're just men and women of integrity and passion. But I can't point to anything more than the zeal of the Lord on behalf of his own promises and his own desires for our nation and the nation. So I think it was the message, it was the timing, and it's the hunger in a generation that truly wants to see transformation, wants to see the gospel, the power lived out in everyday life. So I think that that is the explanation, is that there really is a deep hunger in a generation to go after God and to go after the lost.
You know, this event was 12 hours long from 10 in the morning till 10 at night. I was not there the entire 12 hours, but I was there for probably 8 or 9. And every speaker was good. The music was good, but you did not really highlight speakers. There weren't long introductions. I'm not even sure if you identified all the speakers. This was not about personality. You were up there on the stage. Hardly anyone even knew who you were. I just really admired the humility that I saw. Was this part of your strategy?
Absolutely. I think we really did feel that we have to gather around the message of the gospel, the presence and the power of Jesus, and that even we had a word that our message would carry weight and power, but also the method would carry weight and power. And for us, it had to be the empowerment of the everyday believer. No one who stood up there could be so awe-inspiring that they actually end up disempowering. And so I think part of our strategy the whole way was that people would see themselves in who was speaking. They would see themselves in who was sharing or leading, and they would think to themselves, I can walk out in radical obedience to God, because that's really all they're doing. And so it was very intentional, and for the sole purpose of empowering the everyday believer to really believe they can be a hero in this storyline.
And there was something else that happened before this event where there was actually witnessing on the streets. I believe it was called the Flood. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, it was so encouraged by what happened there. Again, we felt we needed to live and model our message. And so we had put a call out to ministry schools and missions groups across the nation to join us for 5 days. And every morning and every night, we gathered together for worship and training and prayer. And then every afternoon, we sent these teams out all over the streets. And there ended up being about 1,300 to 1,400 missionaries that came in. And we're spread out all across Orlando, just loving the lost, serving, praying for people, praying for the sick, just doing anything we could to demonstrate the love of Jesus. And so it was remarkable. We had right around 600 people make decisions for Christ. There were some, I want to say it was 16,000 that had gospel seeds planted through a conversation or a prayer time. And there were around 700 to 800 recorded healings that took place on the streets. So we were able to just demonstrate and live out that simple gospel message and that simple empowerment of young people in all ages to go and demonstrate the kingdom. So it was a remarkable week. We all said at the end of the week, which every night packed out to capacity in the church we were meeting at, that if it had just been those 5 days, it would have been successful and remarkable.
And also, you were able to bring together churches in Central Florida and even outside Central Florida in a way that I had never seen. And I've lived here for more than 40 years. My notes here that I took when you gave that report was 250 churches in Central Florida cooperated. That is remarkable.
Yeah.
Then there were some other statistics. I actually am looking at my notes that I took, but I wanted to ask you, you made a call for different things and asked people to text their response to a number. So technology allows us to get some of this response in a way that we couldn't before, other than a show of hands or people coming forward. And so tell me about those, the Jesus Fast, ministering in colleges and high schools and to their neighbors and so forth.
Yeah, and we've actually continued to have numbers pouring in as I've given an opportunity on the website now for people to continue to respond. And I'll give you those numbers and just a real brief on our follow-up from this, which was such a part of our heart that it would lead to lasting fruit, fruit that remains. And so we had 18,196 people sign up for the Jesus Fast that begins on March 1st to April 9th. And they will be walked through day by day some specific themes in that 40-day season of prayer and fasting. And on the day of, in the stadium, we had 531 decisions for Christ that were, you know, people that felt that maybe they didn't have the assurance of their salvation or they had wondered. And 531 responded in the stadium. We had 2,197 respond that they want to reach their college for Jesus, that they want to begin to gather to do evangelism. We had 2,467 respond to the mission field of high schools. And I just have been in touch with Brian Barcelona even today that in 10 years, he built to 100 schools. That's 100 churches that were starting clubs on 100 different schools. And in one day, they have climbed to over 150 new distinct schools adopted by churches. So in one day, they accomplished 1.5 times what took 10 years to build. And on the day of, we had 5,064 from local churches respond that they would intentionally reach out to 12 friends with the gospel and begin to make disciples. And then we had 5,423 commitments to the nations, which would be to sign up for some form of missions training and sending. And those were some of the remarkable statistics, and more still rolling in. And since the day of the send, I believe we started on Monday, we have a team of about 60 to 70 that are following up with every single text in response. So they're personally following up by text and phone calls to help them take the next steps so that these numbers become realities and that we can train and send and mobilize them towards what they really committed to.
You know, as you were talking, you know, since I'm a journalist by trade, I'm going here with my notes. I had the notes that you gave us the day after. I'm jotting down the new numbers, and they've gone up. In some cases, only a few hundred, but that indicates that the responses are still coming in, and praise God.
That's right.
Even though they say only a certain percentage will ever follow up, you know, a lot of times people make a decision based on emotion. You know, the ones that do respond, I mean, that is so much better than what we have right now. Plus, a lot of times, in fact, I think you said that people have to have 7 gospel interactions in order to accept Christ. And surely there needs to be multiple opportunities to commit yourself to a lifetime of reaching the nations for Christ or, you know, any of these other ministries. So thank God for this first step. And I think it was successful by just about every measure. There was such a calm spirit. Even the cops that were on the street, you know, providing security or directing traffic, you know, with their Orlando and Orange County uniforms on. I mean, even they were nice. You know, they were warmly greeting people as they came in and out. I've never been to anything like it. And I just think that it is an extension of the values and the culture that you have there with Youth with a Mission, which, of course, is where you serve. I was glad to see my friend Lauren Cunningham and his wife Darlene there on the stage as well. And just tell us a little bit about what you do with Youth with a Mission there in Kona, Hawaii.
Yeah, I've been working with YWAM for about 20 years now, and the last 10 to 11 have been in YWAM Kona on the Big Island of Hawaii with Lauren and Darlene Cunningham. It's just such an honor to serve alongside them, and they really have set a culture that we've tried to permeate into everything we're doing, and it is such an upside-down culture, you know. It really is just straight out of the pages of the servant-hearted leadership of Jesus, and we are a training and sending university, and so every 3 months, we have a new group of students come in, maybe on a low quarter, somewhere around 400, on a bigger quarter, around 600, and they will be getting trained in a variety of different things. If it's their first time with us, it would be a basic discipleship training school, and they're with us 3 months, and then we send them all over the world for another 3 months to put into application what they've learned. If they've finished a DTS, and many of them are in university-level training in anything from humanities and worldview to photography and videography to healthcare and counseling, lots of different training programs, all aimed at a missional lifestyle and the furtherance of the Great Commission. So we've got a staff community there, probably about 500 to 600, that call Kona home, and our great desire is to train and send another wave of missionaries to the nations of the earth.
Well, that's exciting. And we are going to be writing an article that we'll have on our charismanews.com website. And is there anything else you'd like our readers to know as we wrap up this podcast? So in other words, I'll give you the last word.
Yeah, I think my great desire for everyone who listens to this or reads the article is that they would find themselves written in the pages. They would find themselves right in the middle of the storyline, is that the Send story would be an empowering story, would be a championing story, and that everyone from the mom of three kids to the guy that's working on the job site today to every person in every walk of life that would be a sincere follower of Jesus would be reinvigorated in the power of the gospel, their ability to be carriers of the gospel and disciple makers, and that every person would find themselves in this storyline of a grand global spiritual awakening, and they would feel they're right where God wants them and that their voice massively matters. And I think if that happens, then this incredible church, this global church is awakened into that reality, then I don't think we can stop a global harvest.
Well said. And I just thank you for your time. And I just wish God's blessings on you and your ministry and all the future plans that you have with the Send.
Thank you so much.
I hope you were inspired by Andy Bird and his vision. You know, it's just an example of what God can do when a person who's yielded to him will follow a vision, in Andy's case, for 7 years, and it's going to go on into the future, I'm sure. I want to remind you to subscribe to my newsletter, also called The Strang Report. It's mailed to you at no charge. All you need to do is to send an email to newsletter.strangreport.com. I'll repeat that. That's newsletter.strangreport.com. That's all you have to do, and you'll be on my list to receive every Strang Report as it comes out. And of course, it includes the podcast too. Thank you for subscribing. And if you want to email me at the Strang Report, just email podcast@charismamedia.com. Again, that's podcast@charismamedia.com. You may want to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or maybe Google Play. And when you're there, give us 5 stars, because that makes us go up in the rankings and more people are exposed to the podcast and find out what God is doing, which we try to report every day, 5 days a week on The Strang Report. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, God bless you. I'm Stephen Strang.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.